We must be united in pursuing the one goal that transcends every other consideration. That goal is to meet history's great test, to conquer extremism and vanquish the forces that terrorism brings with it every single time.
That is President Trump speaking in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, on Sunday on the first leg of an extended overseas trip. The president urged leaders of Muslim nations who were present to join together in a fight against terrorism, a fight, he said, that will include the U.S. But security ties are not the only thing that bind the U.S. and Saudi Arabia. The Trump brand has business ties to Saudi Arabia and also to Israel, where the president is today. Those ties were established long before Trump became president. Steve Eder is an investigative reporter at the New York Times. He's been looking into the Trump family's dealings in both countries.
You know, it looks like back in 2015, during the, you know, as the campaign for president on the Trump side was up and running, that the Trump executives had explored some type of deal, a hotel deal in Saudi Arabia. There were, you know, nothing was publicly disclosed or revealed about it at the time. And the first time it really came up was in some disclosures later that there were these corporate entities that had been formed, eight of them. Ultimately, those eight entities, the Trumps didn't pursue the deal, and the entities have all been canceled since. Still, there, you know, it shows that there was some interest, you know, at a time on the Trump side in, you know, possibly doing business in Saudi Arabia.
Why do you think the deal fell through?
Well, it's unclear what, you know, why it fell through. I think what we know about, you know, Trump Organization and the Trump hotel brand and some of their different endeavors is that they look far and wide, you know, at least before the presidency. Of course, you know, since the presidency, there's been the ban on new foreign deals, which, you know, has been, I guess, a big point, a big part of the ethics plan. But before that, you know, I think executives were pretty open that their ambitions were to go global in terms of rolling out businesses, business opportunities and deals. And so, you know, they had all kinds of deals, I think, in the pipeline, you know, across the world. And some of them have been built. Some of them are in, you know, were in different stages, and some of them have been canceled.
The Times reported late last week that the president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, had helped to personally broker this $110 billion arms deal between the Saudi government and Lockheed Martin. Is that unusual? Or since Mr. Kushner is a senior advisor to the president, is that just sort of standard procedure?
Well, it seemed unusual from past practice, from past administrations, you know, being that, you know, not only is Jared Kushner a senior advisor to the president, he's also the son-in-law. And so that's it sets up a little bit different dynamic, I think, especially when you're world leaders from different countries that are used to dealing in different kinds of ways. You know, it doesn't seem to be illegal, I think, you know, from our reporting, or raise any significant ethics concern. But it is certainly an unusual, I think, approach to these kinds of things. But I think also if you look at Trump, you look at Kushner, you look at the types of people, their business histories or business people who sort of sold, you know, in terms of the campaign on business dealings, that seeing them in that negotiation setting maybe isn't quite as surprising.
President Trump is in Israel today. What do we know about his business dealings there?
I think unlike in Saudi Arabia, the business dealings in Israel have actually gone a little bit further. The Trumps have had an interest, you know, dating back over a decade in you know, getting involved in a tower project in Tel Aviv that at one point actually had a deal that was signed you know, to move forth that was in around 2006, 2007. The deal ultimately, you know, the tower wasn't built. It ended with the Trump suing partners involved in that deal. Mm. There's been other, you know, licensing deals like with drinks over the years. And then more recently, the Trumps were in, I guess, you know, significant conversations about doing a tower deal in Tel Aviv again.
Does Jared Kushner have business deals in Israel independently of his father-in-law?
Yeah, sure. I mean, so very much the Kushners and Trumps operated separately in, you know, in terms of business. The Kushner company, Jared Kushner ran until his role in the administration back in January was you know, with the Kushner companies, his family's company. And they had deals. They had loans with Israeli banks and other dealings with Israeli families and business people. And he's stepped away to some extent from, you know, obviously stepped down and he's working in the administration. You know, although it wasn't a full divestiture of all of the assets. And so there's, in some ways, the Kushners probably have even deeper ties to Israel than the Trumps.
When the president first took office, there was obviously a lot of talk about potential conflicts of interest, given his history as a businessman. Do you think at this point we're looking at a president that is trying very, very hard to avoid any any sort of anything that might implicate him, anything that looks like impropriety?
It's early to say, but I think that there is certainly a you're not seeing President Trump at this point on this trip talking about talking about past business deals and past discussing different things. I think it's a very tight, difficult line in terms of the ethics questions. These are going to be because of the reach of the Trump businesses. This is going to be a question and something that we'll be continuing to look at from a reporting perspective, certainly over the time to come. But these are very delicate kinds of things when there's past business relationships in a place and the potential for future business relationships down the road. It opens a different questions and different dimensions that are some ways unusual for the presidency.
Steve Eder is an investigative reporter for the New York Times. Steve, thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
You come to the New Yorker Radio Hour for conversations that go deeper with people you really want to hear from, whether it's Bruce Springsteen or Questlove or Olivia Rodrigo, Liz Cheney, or the godfather of artificial intelligence, Geoffrey Hinton, or some of my extraordinarily well-informed colleagues at the New Yorker. So join us every week on the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.